and bitten those about him and done his share of the fighting whenever the enemy advanced. He had leaped, carrying his master on his back, over the enemy's fallen horse, and had saved the emperor's red gold crown, saved the life of the emperor, which was much more valuable than the red gold. And that's why the emperor's horse had golden shoes, a golden shoe on each of his feet. And the beetle came creeping out. "First the big ones," he said, "then the little ones. But size isn't the only thing that does it." Then he stretched out his thin legs. "And what do you want?" demanded the blacksmith. "Golden shoes," replied the beetle.
"Ha! You must be crazy," said the blacksmith. "Do you want golden shoes, too?"
"Golden shoes," said the beetle. "I'm just as good as that creature that is waited on, curry-combed and brushed and served with food and drink. Don't I belong to the imperial stable, too?"
"But why does the horse have golden shoes?" asked the blacksmith. "Don't you understand that?"
"Understand? I understand that it is a personal insult to me," said the beetle. "It's just done to annoy me, so I'm going out into the world."
"Get out of here," said the blacksmith.
"What a rude person," said the beetle as he left the stable. He flew a little away and presently found himself in a beautiful flower garden, all fragrant with roses and lavender.
"Ah, isn't it lovely here?"
asked one of the little ladybirds that were flying about, with black spots on their red shield-like wings.
"How sweet it smells here, and how beautiful it is."
"I'm used to much better things," said the beetle. "Do you call this beautiful? Why, there isn't so much as a manure pile here." Then he went on, and got into the shadow of a large gillyflower. A caterpillar was crawling along on it.
"How beautiful the world is," said the caterpillar. "The sun is so warm, and everything is so pleasant, and when my time comes, and I must die, as people call it, I'll wake up again, and I'll be a butterfly."
"What a conceit," said the beetle. "You fly about like a butterfly indeed. I'm from the stable of the emperor, and no one there, not even the emperor's favorite horse, who wears my cast-off golden shoes, has any idea like that. Get wings, fly. Why, I can fly already." And then the beetle flew away. "I don't really want to be annoyed, yet I am annoyed." Soon afterward, he settled on a large lawn. Here he lay quietly for a while, and then he fell asleep.
My goodness, the rain came down in buckets. The noise woke up the beetle, and he wanted to get down into the earth at once, but he couldn't.
He tumbled over. Sometimes he was swimming on his stomach, sometimes on his back, and it was out of the question to try to fly. Would he ever escape from there with his life? So he just lay where he was and remained lying there. When the rain had let up a little, and the beetle had blinked the water from his eyes, he saw something gleaming white. It was linen that had been put out there to bleach. He managed to make his way to it and creep into a fold of the damp cloth. Certainly this place wasn't as comfortable as the warm stable, but there was nothing better. And so he stayed there for a whole day and a whole night, while the rain stayed too. The next morning he crept out, very much annoyed with the weather. Two frogs were sitting on the linen, their bright eyes shining with pleasure.
"How wonderful weather this is," one of them said. "How refreshing. And this linen holds the water together so perfectly. My hind legs are tickling as if I were going to swim."
"I'd like to know," said the other frog, "whether the swallow, who flies so far in her many trips to foreign countries, ever finds a better climate than ours. Such a storm, and such a downpour. You really might think you were lying in a wet ditch. Anybody that doesn't enjoy this weather certainly doesn't love his native country."
"Have you ever been in the emperor's stable?" asked the beetle. "The dampness there is both warm and refreshing. That's what I'm used to. That's the climate for me. But one can't take it along on a journey. Isn't there a nice hotbed here in the garden where persons of rank like me can find a place to live and make himself at home?"
But the frogs either didn't or wouldn't understand him.
"I never ask a question twice," said the beetle, after he had already asked three times without getting any answer.
He went on a little farther and bumped against a piece of broken pottery. It certainly shouldn't have been lying there, but since it was, it gave good shelter. Several families of earwigs lived here, and they didn't need very much room, but they liked company. The females were full of the most devoted mother love, and so each one considered her own child the most beautiful and clever of all.
"Our son has become engaged," said one mother, "the sweet, innocent baby. His greatest ambition is to creep some day into a clergyman's ear. He's such a lovely boy, and being engaged will keep him out of mischief. Oh, what a joy for a mother."
"Our son," said another mother, "had hardly crept from the egg before he got into mischief. He's so full of life and spirit."